2010 Minutes presents the Sunday Struggle Sesh, a raw and uncut conversation about mental health within our own personal lives and the battles we face. My guest today is Haley from the You'll Be Fine podcast. So now, let's hop on that struggle bus and vent away.
Yeah, I rebranded the podcast and I was like, cool, we are on top of things. And then that didn't happen. It was like one thing after another, like the miscarriage. And we had a death in the family. Like, I guess it was last summer, cusp of summer, fall, but it was like, it's still such a fresh grieving process, at least for Drew, because he's never really like gone through something like that before. So we were just like one thing after another. Anyway.
Have you been open about the miscarriage?
Not really. But I'm open to being open about it now. No one's really like asked me much about it, I guess, other than like, oh, I'm so sorry. Or like, every woman has gone through it, really. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if I'd edit that out or not, because that is like a tough conversation from both sides, for sure, because it's a loss of a life, man. It's fucking not easy for probably the mother and the father, or mother and mother, like anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was... It was very hard. I guess like I haven't talked about it because I haven't had anyone to talk about it, but it's really like the main driver of my mental health right now. So I feel like it plays a huge part in why I've been like not able to do anything really. So yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be I can only imagine how that is, man. Especially like someone on someone's mental health, because going through that, and just losing it has got to be just heartbreaking. Like, how do you deal to cope with it?
I think for me, it's more so, since I'm not like religious, but I'm more spiritual, in my brain, it's like, okay, I guess it wasn't my time, or my body just wasn't quite ready to handle this. Or it was, I sort of took it as like a reality check of like, was this the right moment for you? Were you like able to handle this right now, kind of thing? But I think even if I hadn't have had a miscarriage, it would have been a great time. It's just, it comes down to like, it just happens. There's really no reason. I went to the doctor like 2 to 3 times a week for a month, and they were like, it was a spontaneous miscarriage is what they called it. They were like, there's nothing you could have done differently. It just would have happened either way. So I spent a lot of time being like, oh my gosh, like I was drinking too much caffeine, or I was vaping too much, because I wasn't drinking anymore. And for a long time, I was like, maybe it happened because I had stopped drinking. It was like a reward of like, now that you're healthy, you're able to do this thing that you've been wanting to do and carry this baby, whatever. And so to have that like kind of taken away, I was like, oh, this is my karma or something. But there's like reverse so many karma. Different. Yeah. So
are you a person that's like, it is what it is, or like everything happens for a reason?
Yeah, I'm more it is what it is, because I'm not a person that believes everything happens for a reason. There's a lot of instances where I'm like, oh yeah, this happened for a learning experience, or this happened because of this, whatever. But there are some things where I'm like, strictly, it sucks, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, what, everything happens for a reason, I'm very weird on, because if I bang my knee off like a table, I'm like, oh yeah, everything happens for a reason. It's like, I didn't bang my fucking knee for a reason.
Yeah, or like, just random like bad events that have happened in the world. People are like, it was in someone's plan, or it was like, it was meant to happen. I'm like, I really fucking hope not, because that would suck.
Yeah. I think I'm not religious either. Like, you know me, I don't really talk about it on my show, but when like talking with a friend that you can have a conversation with, it's a lot easier. I found out, I think I'm agnostic, where like, I don't believe in God, but like there's something fucking going on that's weird.
Oh yeah, for sure. There is something out there. I just don't know. I'm more so in tune with like the earth and the universe. And like, I love mythology and like the whole like Wiccan pagan sort of thing, but I don't really talk about it that much, because it's definitely like a new age trend on TikTok, I feel like. So it's easy to like take it at face value, but I definitely don't. My family's Christian, but I've never really held those type of views, I guess. So I'm like, there's something out there. I just literally don't know what it is. So
Yeah, I grew up Catholic, and I went to this thing called CCD. I forget what it even stands for. Like, that's how bad of a person I was paying attention. But I remember like them teaching us, and I said like, "Oh, I think we evolved from like monkeys." And I was like a kid, and like the teacher was like not having that whatsoever.
Yeah,
and I just remember having those thoughts as a kid, and I kind of still have those thoughts. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I respect everyone else's views and religions. Like Christianity, Catholic. I think that's kind of similar in a way. Again, like I don't know. I actually don't really even care.
Yeah. There was a girl in my science class in high school. We were talking about the history of evolution, and she sat in the back with her Bible, and she was like exempt from the curriculum. And I was like, whoa, that's hardcore. But I feel like as long as no one is hurting anyone, I feel like I went through a period where I was very judgmental. I was very like anti-religion and very outspoken about like how harmful it is, when it just came to, I wasn't educated enough to like know that that's not everyone's shtick, I guess, is like being a hateful Christian or in a religion. And now I'm like, as long as you're not hurting anyone, your beliefs do not coincide with mine, but we can still coexist as long as you don't hate people. So
no one else drives me nuts, like these big named like pastors that have like these like $1 million homes and $1 million
started.
Yeah, Joel Osteen, like how like the flood down there, and like he wouldn't let anybody in.
I hate him so much. That's a strong word. I always knew there was something funny about him. And I guess it's just when my grandparents or parents had them on like the late night TV or whatever, I'm like, something is off with that man. It's all like a cash grab kind of thing. And I'm like, I feel like they're not truly into their religion the way that people think that they are. They're just in it for the money.
Oh, if you gave them the option of being like, you can stay religious and meet God, or you can just keep all your money, I'm pretty sure they would just keep all the money.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's just me. But enough. Like, I love how we just jumped into like two crazy topics right off the jump. So anyone listening, this is pretty much the struggle sesh between me and Haley, formerly Podcast 27. So you haven't podcasted in a while, like you rebranded. So what is the name of the podcast and where the fuck have you been?
So the name is You'll Be Fine. And I rebranded, I guess, at the beginning of the new year. I was like, we're going to put out an episode every week, maybe two a week. We are on top of it. And then life just literally happened. And I have like three episodes out. And I think I kept a few of the old ones. But I literally have episodes typed up in my notes app, like ready to go. I just cannot like sit down and get ready. And we got Wednesday, our new dog. So like, they're finally at a place where they're not going crazy like all the time. And I didn't even know if they bark, if you can hear them in the background. They're just always 24/7 going. So I had to take like a month and a half of like, how do I get them to settle down so that I can sit down and record, not have to edit them out, whatever. And then it was like miscarriage, school. I opted out of this semester because class started like 2 days after I miscarried. And I was like, well, I have all this free time, but I was literally too sad to like record anything. So now that I've got all these episodes like typed up, I'm sure I will record them at some point. But no, you can, sure. I'm still on Twitter. I noticed I don't get the same traction on Twitter anymore. And I think it's because I don't tweet on there as often. And there was a little bit of drama on there. I don't like being involved in anything. So I rebranded like my social media handles all to You'll Be Fine Pod, or just You'll Be Fine. So I'm still on there. It's, if you followed me on Podcast 27, you're still following me pretty much. So,
well, a couple of things. Yeah. Twitter drama is like watching like a car wreck. You're like, this is getting bad, but it's very entertaining.
When it's bad, it's like bad. And I think once I joined the podcast community, I like followed everyone. It took me about 6 months to really get to know who was who and who, like everyone, what they're about kind of thing. And so I started like unfollowing people that I didn't really click with or that were too dramatic all the time. And it was fine for a while. And then all of a sudden, just like more stuff kept happening. And I was like, I don't know, keep me out of this.
I'll unfollow somebody if it's like they post something that's great. Like someone posted like a porn image. And like, again, I'm not against porn. I watch it, but it was just like, I don't need that on my timeline for what I'm doing. So I was just like, like people that like show a picture of like a meme. There was one of this. It's like, what would you say about this photo? And it was like a girl that was overweight. And I was like, that's fucking kind of fucked up.
It is so, and it was one account, and then it started like snowballing, and it's like, what is the first thing you think of when you see this photo? And it's like a hot woman with guns. And I'm like, okay, literally just go on Google. I don't know the reaction. I think it's for attraction. I think it's for like follows and like interaction and stuff. But I'm like, it'll be the most vile thing. And you know what they're trying to like get out of the people that follow them, I guess. I'm like, God, it gets to be like a little homophobic and like things that I don't really click with. And I'm like, oh, y'all are actually like not good people.
Yeah, dude. I think we're talking about the same account without naming them, but we'll talk about that off air. But yeah, I'm the same way. They just do it for like clickbait. They just have people on. They have a bunch of followers. They follow people back. It's just like, there's so much better accounts. And I think what else too, you probably don't get traction on Twitter as much because like, we're not verified blue. And I feel like a lot of those people are more like into the, like the timeline and stuff. So yeah, I've seen a lot of like pushback, not pushback, but like a lot of like declining in my tweets and stuff.
Yeah. And like, I mostly tweet from my personal account, but when I was really active on like with Tony and Pixie and all you guys and whatever, it was like very active. I don't know. I felt like I made like a lot of friends. We were like chatting all the time, and now it's just kind of like leveled out, and I'm not paying for Twitter Blue. So that will not be happening.
Yeah, dude, remember like the original like couple of us? It was like, yeah, me, you, Tony, Pixie, Gliza, Job. I had to text Job not too long ago and be like, are you alive, dude?
Yeah, I think, is he just streaming, like doing the streaming stuff?
He's a busy dude. Yeah, I know he's doing the streaming, but I miss his podcast. I actually stole his intro. I don't think he knows this, but he used to go, "Ayo." So I've been doing that now because of him.
Yeah, I love that. I loved that podcast. And there was like a period of time where I was like, oh yeah, we're all going to like do a show together. Cause I went on their podcast too. And I was like, this is so much fun. And then I guess that came to an end. So, but I love keeping up with him as a person in general. I just kind of stay back in the shadows. I really haven't been, I've been more of a lurker these days than anything. So.
Yeah. And then, Anthony and Steven from the We Have Issues podcast. He was another one that I linked up with early. And he's like, he's a good friend of mine too. There's people that like I chat with, like that I consider friends. And like, he's definitely one of them. Like me and Chicago Tony V haven't talked in a while. And that's kind of probably on me too. But like, he's such a good dude. Like that guy's the man.
Yeah. And like the month of February was great for me mentally. I think I was blocking out a lot of shit. So I was getting up early and I was like, oh, I have time to listen to Chicago Tony V on like the live Twitch or whatever streaming platform he does. And now I'm like, oh, it's been so long. I've missed so much. So, cause he records like every single day almost. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so much to keep up with, but good for him. I miss all those people.
I do too. And like, Pixie's another one. She, I've been talking to her like off and on, and I like not to spill her like tea or whatever, but I know she's like kind of like not struggling, but I think she's taking a step back from podcasting. Cause I don't know if she's getting burnout or what, because she was always helping people. And like, she was like a real asset to, I think, the podcasting community. And I know like some people were like fighting with her at one point, and it was like, I looked into those people and like, yeah, there's a reason why I don't follow these people.
Yeah. And it's like, when someone is very wholesome, they're taking time out of their day. Cause she works, like she does so many other things. She's got like her life at home, and then she does the podcasting stuff. And when I saw a bunch of people trying to subtweet and be like, if you're self-proclaimed, like, mom or pod parent or whatever, and I'm like, okay, then step the fuck up and you fucking do it. She's doing it out of the goodness of her heart because she enjoys helping people. And I think when you're like successful and a really genuine person, and other people see that, they're just like intimidated. So it's really sad, like people are haters for no reason,
for sure. But the podcast father's my guy, Jeff. I love him a lot. He does a lot of the podcasting community too, and I don't know how he deals with everybody, because everyone's up his ass about just like getting reviews, like making sure they're connected with him. But like, that guy's a saint.
Yeah, I love that people have the energy to do that kind of stuff. Not me, but I appreciate the effort that goes into it, because I could not do it.
It's funny with people with mental health podcasts like me and you, because like, we'll have time where like, we just like, fuck this, I'm shutting down the studio. Like, I'm like not mentally prepared to like even have a conversation with a human being, let alone like a camera and a phone. Interesting.
Because I was like, oh, this will be a great way for me to talk about my mental health. Like, I do that anyway at work or with my friends. And then I really enjoyed doing it. It was just like the times where I couldn't get out of bed, or my job is strictly doing nothing but talking to people every single, like, for hours on end. And then I'll go home, I'll get in my car, and I'm like, bro, I still have to go home. And like, I love my dogs and I love my husband. I love like my friends, but there are days I want to go home and like sit in the dark. I won't even turn the radio on when I leave work. I'm like, this is too much. This is too much for me.
I listen to the same like 9 songs every day, and 8 of them are like Kesha songs.
Oh my gosh. Did you see she's coming out with a new album? Thought of you immediately.
Of course.
Yeah. Super exciting.
She had that countdown, and it was like 15 hours before I went to bed. Then I woke up and like I was in like the midst of my job, and I was like, oh wait, I gotta see what that countdown was. And there was like an hour left, and I like kept it up, and I was like, it's gotta be a new album. And it was definitely
album, so. Yeah, and JoJo is on Broadway, I think, right now too.
There's a possibility I go see her on her Broadway show. New York's not that far.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always forget because I'm like, I want to go back up to see Salem, like more of Salem. And I'm like, oh, I have like, I think I have a friend in Pennsylvania and New York. There's like so many spots. When you're down here, you have to drive like 4 or 5 hours to get to the coast and the beach or whatever. And you're still in Georgia. But up there, like the states are a lot smaller. So
that's forget that we met up. We finally got to meet in person. It felt like you were my sister, and
I know
it was so easy. And I was just like, this is like not like, you know what it is? You meet somebody for the first time, especially when you meet online, you're like, this kind can be awkward. I was just like, the first thing I said, I was like, why aren't you fucking making podcasts?
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I literally told Drew, I was like, just wait for it. I know what's coming. I know what he's going to say. And sure enough, but it was really fun. And it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but it's probably been like, was it last year? Maybe it was last year.
Yeah, it was like last like summer, obviously, right? It was like nice out. Was it September?
It was like March of last year, because I went up to see the And That's Why We Drink podcast show. And it was nice outside, but it was windy and cold. And I only, I think it was March only because I remember I have the poster date somewhere in here because I got the show poster, but I don't know why it seemed like it was like 6 months ago, but time is an illusion. So, but it was really fun. I've had a lot of internet friends that I've known for like 8 years and I still haven't met them in person. And I feel like when you know, whether you know someone for a long time or not online, it's like the kind of friendship that you have. If you were to meet in person, you just know it's not going to be like weird or awkward or anything like that. So it was fun.
Yeah. It is funny. I feel like in my head that I already met Jav, and like, I feel like there's going to be a time I do that. Cause I have friends in Arizona. So like, if I can go out there and just link up with him and be like, yo, let's like, I just want to be like, do like one episode and just have me on.
Yeah. That would be so rad. I also feel that way about Tony. And I think it's only because like, he's the kind of dude that like I see at work on a regular basis, but not in the creepy way. Like, there's guys that come into work and all they talk about is like random stories from their life. And they're just like there to entertain other people. That's how I feel like if I met Tony, I feel like he's been my uncle for like many years or something.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And then Matthew Tyler from Hops Geek News came up to Massachusetts, but I couldn't link up with him. And it was just like, it was unfortunate. I was so close, but between work and the drive, at one point it was like, they're at a brewery and I was like, all right, it's going to take me an hour to drive there and then like drink and then drive an hour back. I was like, it just doesn't seem plausible right now.
Yes. He seems like such a fun person to hang out with too. I love like all of his tweets and stuff. I feel like we would have a similar like personality type that would get along in real life, if that makes sense. But I always forget he has a kid too.
Yeah. He's one of the, so I always like think about this in like when I meet people or talk to people is their height. I think he's like a tall human being, but I could be making that up in my head. I don't know why.
Yeah. He gives off tall vibes.
There's tall vibe people out there. Like I've never gotten like tall vibes for myself from anyone else. I'm like, they're like, oh, like you recording that closet. I'm like, yeah, if I stand up, this thing is so short, I'll like bang my head.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like an average height, like 5'5". I feel like that's the average female height. So everyone's either my height or taller than me anyway.
Sometimes girls are funny though with like their height. They're like, oh, I'm so tall. And I'm like, how tall are you? They're like 5'9". I'm like, you're not that tall.
Yeah. If you were like over, if you hit like the 6'3" mark, then I'm like, oh, okay, you're pretty up there. But
yeah. Like, you should be playing volleyball and basketball if you're that tall.
Yeah. Yeah. So irrelevant. Well, I guess it is a relevant topic, but we were talking about like the struggle sesh. Mm-hmm. So I was talking, I guess, earlier yesterday about like the manic episodes. How would you describe a manic episode to someone when you experience them, or any point in your depression or bipolar disorder? Because I have a way that I would describe it, but I want to hear how you would describe it to someone.
Man, manic episodes are like so dangerous that it's funny, because like from the outside looking in, people just think you're in a great mood and you're just like this. I feel like there's two manic episodes in opinion. There's like a positive one and there's like a negative one that's like mixed in. So like the positive one, I'll be like, I think the word's grandiose or grandiose, like what's that word? Like fucking just like everything just seems great.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So I'll be like, oh, I don't need my meds. I'm doing great. Today's such a beautiful day out. And then like in my head, I'll be like, I got a dog. Like he loves being outside. I should build a dog house. I have no fucking idea how to use a screwdriver. Like there's no way I'm building a dog house. But then there's the negative one where I like spiral and just like I pile everything on. It's like the complete opposite where I just like, and like it could be more depression, but I feel like I'm just so manic that like I'm just like losing my mind and I'm like going to that switch. It's like a thermometer. What the fuck?
Like a meter. Like a
meter. Yeah. So it's like it just goes like a little bit closer to that. And that's when like I spiral, and like there's been times I spiraled on Twitter and like I just kind of like self-deprecate, and people like I got warnings from Twitter being like someone's worried about you, and I was like shit, I was like that's bad. But like mania is like false reality. That's like the best way to like explain it, that you're in like a false reality and it's like very scary and it could be detrimental to you. Like you, like people with bipolar like have like risky behaviors, and like one of them is gambling, and that one of them is for like, that's one of mine. But I don't think I'm a degenerate gambler. Like I only take money out I can lose. So like when I had my nervous breakdown, like probably like last year, I was out of work for 2 weeks because like I just couldn't handle anything. And like the first thing I did when I had my breakdown was drive down to the casino and just go down there, because I get away from everybody. Like I sit with like all these different people at like the blackjack table, and I love chatting with them because like no one knows each other. And like I love the old Asian women. Like they're my favorite people to play with. They like just they're like all business. They say monkey. So like in blackjack, when like you want them to go over 21, they're like monkey and they slam the table, and I fucking love that. They want the deal to bust. I don't know what it is, but I just absolutely love that. But yeah, it's a false reality. But how would you explain it?
Yeah, so pretty much the same. It's like there's the two episodes, I feel like two sides of the spectrum, where this was a few months ago. I was driving and I feel it like come from my stomach up into my chest, and it was that like impending doom of like everything. It was a beautiful day. I was on my way to work, and then I could feel it. It was like two parts of me like pulling, and I was like, oh no, like I can feel it. The depression episode is coming. And a part of me was like, no, just keep holding on. We can stop this, whatever. But recently, in the past few days, I felt such a heightened sense of like, everything is going great. Like I don't need to go get evaluated, and my therapy session is going to be great, and I don't need to be on meds and blah, blah, blah. And then sure enough, that's how I knew like the fall is coming, like the bad is coming. And I feel like when I get in those episodes, I'm so tired. Like you could think of your hardest day at work. Your body is completely run over by a bus. Your brain is just like fried. That's what it feels like. But I haven't overworked myself. I'm sleeping, and it's just like, it makes me feel bad because I'm not doing anything. I'm not overexerting myself. It's literally my brain being like, it's shutdown time, and it sucks. I don't know how to explain it in like better words, but like when someone, like let's take Drew for example, because Drew doesn't really deal with this sort of thing. Like I can get out of bed, or I will have insomnia, and when I finally go to sleep, I do not want to get out of bed. Like my body is physically like, you cannot do anything today. I'll drag myself to work. I was at work yesterday, and it was just a mix of the lights and people talking. I was sitting there probably for like 2 hours. We didn't have anyone come in for like three fucking hours. And I was like, I'm so overwhelmed right now, and nothing is happening. It's just this like sense of like, I'm going to die when I leave here, or it's, I don't know. It's, it's really unfortunate, and it like impacts every part of my life to the point where I have a new therapist. So I go see her again tomorrow, and I'm like, this is perfect timing, because she gets to see, like, we got down to the nitty gritty in our first session, and she was like, we have so much to unpack here. This is going to be great. You're going to learn so much. And tomorrow I'm like, yeah, you're definitely sitting in the middle of a spiraling episode right now. So grateful to be here.
That's why it's no fault to its own, but therapy's funny because they you have like a 45-hour block. And I wish like they could be with me for like a week just to see like how I really am. Because in therapy, yes. I'm like in a good mood. I'm like, oh yeah, things have been going great. Like same with my prescriber for my meds. I'm like, what's new? I'm like, nothing. But then like there's so much that's new that like I like another thing too, like go off topic a little bit, is like Adderall and like Lamictal and like Adderall for people with bipolar, like isn't the best. And like, I've read that somewhere, but like, I'm on that, like I'm on a mood stabilizer and Adderall. And I guess it's like, it like brings out mania episodes more. So like when I take my like Adderall, like, which I took before this, because like, it puts me in that like hyper mood where like I'm hyper focused and I'm like in a good mood. So I don't know if it's just the meds or if it's like helping me, like I'm doing it on my own. And I don't know if it's actually the Lamictal or it's actually the Adderall. And I think it is because like, I'm just rambling right now, which is like that, like how I am. So I'll be at work and just like talking everyone's ear off. And then like, I have to bring myself back to reality. And I know I'm not manic, but I know like, it's like manic light where it's like, I'm having tendencies of mania right now.
Yes. You're like all, you have so much to say. So I do that at work where I'm like, I'm in a good mood. Everything's going great, but there's something inside me that's like, suddenly we have so much to talk about, and it's me to like one person, and they're like, yeah, but they're used to it. Like they're my friend, they're used to it. And I'm like, all right, end scene. Now I'm done for the rest of the day. Like I got, even with Drew, like it'll be 3 a.m. and he can tell, because I'll get this look on my face and I'm like, it's time to party. And he's like, it's time for bed. And I'm like, no, but I have to tell you about like this movie that I saw and like how I was feeling today and the story from work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I haven't gotten evaluated since COVID for all the mental illness kind of stuff. But I was talking to my therapist and we did the little rundown talking about like PTSD versus CPTSD and like OCD and ADHD. And I took this like mini evaluation. It said severe symptoms of OCD. And I was like, well, that's a new check mark on the list. So I don't know. I feel so bad when I'm like around other people, going back to what you said about wishing a therapist could stay with you for a week. Cause I'm like, if someone could sit with me for a week and see my behaviors, see what I'm doing, I feel like it would give them better insight into why I am the way that I am, I guess.
Have you ever thought about bringing Drew into some of your therapy sessions to like have him explain? Because like I did that with Lindsay and she said something good. She was like, I don't know how his brain works. And it was like good to hear that because like her brain is different than mine. So did you ever think about doing something like that so he can like talk about his point of view and maybe like enlighten it? So like he's with you every day. So he's kind of like your personal therapist pretty much. So like, do you ever think about doing that?
No, I've never thought about that until this moment. Cause like we've talked about couples therapy. Like we don't have any reason to go that like taboo, I guess, but it's therapy is good in any case, whether things are going good or going bad. Cause we had some friends and they like went to couples therapy to like work on stuff. And Drew was like, I know that if I told you, hey, I want to go to couples therapy, my first thought would not be something is wrong. So I think for him to like give that perspective of me as a person, that would probably be really helpful for her. Cause the first session alone, she like went through, we had like an hour and a half session and she was like, you have CPTSD, which in a lot of cases is worse than PTSD. PTSD is from one situation typically that causes like lifelong traumatic, has triggers, whatever. And she was like, your whole life has been nothing but trauma. And so now you're in this boat of like constant triggers. You're remembering things from the past that you didn't remember 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, wow, that probably explains or has a lot to do with why I think about things a certain way or why I do things a certain way. So it would be nice for him to come sit in and kind of learn because he's really helpful. He's like my rock, my best friend. And he's never had like a negative, I don't know, like his support has always been very positive and very like understanding. It's never been like, oh, why do you do this? Or why are you the way that you are? But I've never thought about like putting him in the situation and for him to explain like, this is my wife's brain and this is my brain. Like what is the difference? Because he has ADHD too.
Yeah, Drew's good people. He gave off tall people vibes just because the
oh, yeah.
guys. Yeah. He's not he was really good. You can tell your guys' dynamic was really good. And he's a big nerd too. Like when he's looking for the Pokemon cards, I'm like, oh man, like I didn't expect this at all.
Yes, he is. He's a very smart guy. And like I feel like we are two different kind of nerds, which is nice because it's just good to have that dynamic, I guess. But he's just an overall, like, really fun guy to hang out with. Like, I feel like if we never had been in a relationship, we still would have been, like, solid friends, pretty much. But, like, people talk about their best friends and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know, I feel pretty lucky. Like, I'll hear people talk about their relationship problems, especially at work or whatever, or, like, whatever our friends are going through. And I'm like, I just really, we cannot relate to that. And I'm sure we've only been together for like 9 years. So our time, I'm sure we'll have times where we like fight or disagree or something else will come up, but we've already been through so much with like trauma and grief and family stuff and like our house getting struck by lightning, like just so many random things that we've gone through that we've been able to like make it and just work as a team. Some people just can't do that. And I'm very thankful that we get along so well.
You guys have been put through the fucking ringer now that I think about it. And his COVID like issues too that he had.
Oh my God. It was one when I like think about the past 2 or 3 years, like when Drew had COVID, he had it bad. Like he was in the hospital for a long time. And then we got past that. He still has some like long winded. He had a lot of lung issues. And then it was like, all right. Everything's cool. Our house gets struck by lightning. The same day our house got struck by lightning, our roommate was going through this situation with a girl. Like it was, I'll have to talk about that off camera, but it was so crazy. And we woke up and it was like, our house is on fire. And then fast forward, his grandmother passes away. And that was so, so hard, like so devastating. And then the holidays come around. It's hard to get through holidays without a crucial family member, you know, and then announce our pregnancy 4 days later, miscarry. And then I feel like something, there's been more stuff that's happened. I'm just like the top events were like, damn, when do we get a fucking break? But it's coming, I'm sure.
You guys are long overdue. You guys need to like buy some scratch tickets or fucking like something. Just
that's the thing is that Drew has the best luck when it comes to gambling. I feel like we went to Vegas for the When We Were Young Fest and I don't even touch those machines because I'm going to lose money. It took me 2 hours to make like $50. Drew won like $900 fucking dollars. He lost it within like 10 minutes, but he was like, I came here with like a couple $100, got $900. He'll just like sit there and play scratch offs. Every time we get a scratch off, he gets like $50, $100. I'm like, cool. I don't have that kind of luck. So I'm not even going to test my fate.
I love when people call them scratch offs up here. They call them scratchies guy. Like
scratchies.
Scratchies, yeah.
That's crazy. I forget that there's different lingo, I guess. I was very intimidated when I came up there because I guess I didn't like I've heard your accent and I was like, okay, yeah, I know that this accent is real in the movies and like people do have these accents, but when I got up there, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I may say like, yes, ma'am or something and they will be mad at me. But we went to a pizza shop and the guy was very like strong mafia looking maybe. And he was so nice. I think it's just like the Southern hospitality. And I always tell people the Southern hospitality thing is true to an extent, but it's very like two-faced. So I don't feel like it's that real down here. Everyone's just used to being nice for no reason.
Yeah, Boston can be pretty tough. We have a lot of assholes that live up here, but when I go down to the South, like when I lived in Charlotte, it's like I get a lot of brain farts when I start talking. They're like, I'm like, yeah, can I get some like extra butter? And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, they're very nice about it. But like the Boston accent outside of Boston is so prevalent and it's so like it's like larger than life in a way. Like I'm not trying to like gas myself up with like, oh, I have a great accent. I think the accent's fucking stupid. That you'd never hear of a porn star with a Boston accent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just not like fucking fuck me guy hot up. Like you're never gonna hear that.
No, it's funny too because this podcast that I started listening to, The Basement Yard, they have like they're up north too, and more people recently, I don't know if it's like conventions or whatever, but at work more people from up north have come with accents and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just the life of the party. That's like how I can describe it for someone, is like someone with that accent has the life of the party within their soul, it seems. So
yeah, people love, like when I was on like my honeymoon or on vacation, people love like finding the Boston people. They're like, oh, it's the Boston Tim, like Boston this. And it's like, yeah, it is wicked funny. And like, it's like a double-edged sword. Like sometimes I just sound like a fucking idiot, but then sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's me. Like, it's me.
I feel like too with the South, like you can meet the most Southern people and have no fucking idea what they're saying. But people that have grown up with family members, like with a very thick Southern accent, they could be saying like the most random shit and you're like, yeah, I totally understand what they're saying. But someone else is like, I did not understand a word that person just said. But different dialects across the US is very fun to listen to.
Because you got like the Texas, you got California. I think the one that I want to go see and hear is go down to Louisiana and hear like the Creole, like where they're dang. I'm like, what the fuck are they saying?
Yes, that sounds bad because I don't know. I think my stepdad is actually from Louisiana, but I know he lived there for a long time. I'm pretty sure that's where he's from. But I feel like I can hear an accent out of him in some capacity, but I would love to go down there and like actually like go to New Orleans, or I've never been there, but Drew has. I want to go for Mardi Gras. Just like, I don't drink anymore. So I'm like, I think about like vacation plans that I've had or wanted to go do, and I'm like, oh, it's probably not as fun since I'm not going to like party like they party. But yeah,
no, there's probably something down there for everybody. Like it is funny too, like drinking is such like a social aspect that like is included in like anything. It's like you go to like a baby shower, it's like mimosas. You go to like a friend's birthday party, it's like beers. And it's like, and then like the worst thing I hate, because I have a buddy who's straight edge, he doesn't drink or smoke, and it's like, why aren't you drinking? And it's like it could be reversed. It's like, why are you drinking? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the reason that you're drinking? Alcohol is legit poison. And like, there's commercials for it. There's like, drink it. And it's like, you're going to feel terrible the next day. And like, I still drink. Like, I don't drink like a crazy amount. Like, I'll go out and socially drink just to have fun. But like, I don't know why I feel awkward when I go places and I'm not drinking. It's like, I don't like that feeling.
Yeah, it took me like a little bit to get in the groove of things, I guess. But I'm at a place, and I feel like I'll always be at this place where I'm like, we obviously like all know drinking is bad. They make like liquid IV for your hangovers, like so you can prepare not to feel like shit the next day. No one seems to do that with like weed, but I don't know, I could be wrong. But I think I thought I wouldn't be as fun when I wasn't drinking. And then I was like, oh, I've been drinking for so long, people probably don't even know what the sober me is like. And not that drunk me is like this crazy person, because it's really not. But even when I would get like a little bit tipsy or whatever, I just like felt more comfortable in a situation. And I spent like almost every single day drinking, not completely like getting blackout, but the past like, I guess maybe a year or two, and with work and COVID, it just like got super bad. So I was like, how am I going to separate these like social interactions and these parties and whatever? And now I'm like, just give me a Red Bull, or just give me like a soda water with some cranberry juice and a lime or something. At work, I'll get a salt rim with soda water, and they're like, that's fucking disgusting. But I like the texture of the salt, so it tastes good.
I was actually going to say that. That's a good move. If you want to blend in, like ask for a drinking cup and get like soda water and cranberry, or get like just Coke and it looks like you're drinking like rum and Coke. So yeah, like you can fit right in. But then they're like, why are you still sober? It's like, I don't know, I have a high tolerance, I don't know.
As I was at work, and this guy was like, you've had like three of those now. Like, what, how are you like still so calm? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. I think my tolerance is just like really high. Because sometimes at work, some men will not buy you a drink if you are not drinking alcohol. And it's kind of like a gray line of like, they're trying to get you fucked up so they can take you to a room and potentially like do whatever they want. And you have to be very smart about it. So I'm like, I know you're trying to play me right now. And I can either like test the waters and be like, oh, I'm fun sober, like I just don't drink, or I have to drive home or whatever. And then some people I'll just fake it. Like they'll give you a fake shot. Like, I don't know what that, like the club shot or whatever. You just like order like name of club shot and they know. But some men have been going long enough, they know what that language is. So I'm like, give me a sex on the beach with just juice. Thank you.
I want sex on the beach, but just the beach.
Yeah, just the beach. Nothing crazy. But now that Liquid Death, I love like sparkling water and like water in general, I guess. But Liquid Death is great because most venues have it now. And it's like this badass can that looks like it could be like a sparkling malt liquor drink, and it's just water, and it makes me feel cool. And I feel like a lot of people in our age group at least have like started cutting back on alcohol or are going sober. So it's really, I don't know, I don't really have that question from people our age. It's always people that are older that are like, you're so young, you're too young to have a problem, like just have a little fun. I'm like, I had my fun, I had too much fun, and now I'm sad, so let me be.
You think about like when people buy other people a drink at the bar, like you kind of alluded to it. It's like, well, what is the end game there? It's like, it's kind of like an empty gesture in a way. It's like, oh, I'm buying you a drink, but like, I'm buying you a drink so you're getting drunk enough that you'll talk to me, or like, I'm going to try to bring you home. So it is kind of funny. It's like, if you can't, like, you should just be able to go up to a girl or a guy or whatever and just be like, oh, how are you? Like, that's that, like, why is there a drink, has to be a drink involved to do that, to break the ice?
It's just literally funny. It's so, I'll never forget, because I've been at this club now for like 6 months. My other one closed and I was like, okay, let's go, you know, find a new one. And it was like my second week there. And people know when you're new because they haven't seen you around. These people go there every single day. This guy was like, oh, I'm not going to buy you a drink if you're not drinking alcohol. And I was like, well, why not? I'm fun. I'm fresh. I'm doing my thing. And he was like, that's no fun for me. Like, what am I going to get out of it? And I was like, what is your end goal? Like, what you buying me a Red Bull versus alcohol, like what is the difference? And he's like, well, how am I going to be able to like have fun with you if you're not like, you know, a little bit more willing when you're drunk? And I was like, you're a predator. And yeah. I turned around. I've been in this industry for so long now that I'm like, I literally do not care about your feelings because you obviously don't care about mine. So, and I'm not going to get fired for being honest to these people. And I was like, you're a predator. That's like the creepiest thing I've heard. And he was like, it's just the truth. And I was like, are you a single man? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I thought so. And I walked away and I was like, I'm not here. I was not in the mood that day, but all I wanted was a Red Bull. I just really wanted to get my wings on. But it gives you a perspective about people when you're like, oh, they only want to buy you a drink because they think they're getting something out of it. And it's really weird.
I can't even like do Red Bulls anymore. Like I'll do them, but like I'll switch up. I'll do like a Bang or a C4. And then like those like get me like jacked up. I shouldn't even be drinking those because I'm jacked up as it is, like just on my Adderall, my personality. So I just need it to like keep going.
I thought that for the longest time, like caffeine did not affect me. Mountain Dew was the only thing that would keep me up 12, 14 hours. In high school, my mom wouldn't let me have it past like 2 p.m. She's like, you're going to be up to like 4 a.m. And so I was like conditioned to not drink it as an adult. And then I love Red Bull. I started drinking sugar-free Red Bull when I was younger because of Nick Jonas and his diabetes. I wanted to be an ally. And then now that we have like Red Bull, I would drink like 5 of them, 6 of them in a shift when I was drinking with vodka. And then when I quit drinking, I was like, all right, no vodka, just 5 Red Bulls a day. I had so much chest pain. It wasn't even the caffeine. It wasn't like I was still able to like go to sleep and whatever, but my heart was hurting so bad. And I was like, I'm gonna end up, I think one of my friends ended up in the hospital, and then she tweeted like, yeah, you guys need to quit drinking Red Bull. And I was like, oh my god, that's gonna be me one day.
Yeah,
so now we're at 2 Red Bulls a shift at work. We're weaning off.
I swear they changed their ingredients, because when they first came out, I remember like getting one for the first time, I was like, this tastes like shit. And then like after a while, I had one and like I had a Red Bull vodka and I was like, oh, these aren't bad. But now that I drink a sugar-free Red Bull, like in the back of my mind and back of my mouth, I can taste like the Red Bull vodka. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. And like sugar-free drinks in general have always tasted so bad to me. I don't know what the ingredient is in it that gives it. I don't like stevia. I don't like any alternative sugar kind of thing. But I started drinking Coke Zero and it tastes better than regular Coke to me. And I was always anti anything, but like, give me the Coke. So that like doesn't leave an aftertaste, but it's like Diet Coke, sugar-free Red Bull. All of them have this like weird back taste to them. And I just can't get down with it. It's so weird.
This is the advertisement part of the chat where we're talking about Liquid Death, Red Bull, fucking Bang.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get sponsorships at this point.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking the other day, I was like, okay, if we're like down on the town with the podcast, we're doing good, we're going, who would I want to sponsor me? And I think it would honestly be like the bubbly water. like bubbly water or the ghost energy drinks. I've been drinking before I go to the gym. It's like the Warheads. I was like, I suddenly have forgotten the name of it. And I just said it. But those are pretty tasty and they're like 0 calorie or 10 calories, sugar-free, whatever, but they give me the energy I need. So
I'll try one out. They're at my store and I'll get one. Speaking of beverages, this is a great segue, especially alcohol. How about fucking Bud Light and that fucking controversy? People freaking the fuck out.
It's so weird. I'm like, you're grown, man. You're a grown adult. I don't understand. People get so worked up about things that do not pertain to them in any capacity. And it's just like, let people live their fucking life. I don't know. I think it just came out of nowhere. I literally did not know what was happening. And then someone mentioned it at work and I saw it on Twitter and I was like, oh my gosh, another thing for these people to complain about. But it really got people going. I saw this video on TikTok of this guy like throwing the wrong beer out. Like he was pulling cases out of the grocery store, like alcohol aisle, and it was the wrong beer. And I was like, oh, y'all are deep in this. Cause like normal people don't do that shit. It's just like disagree and move on with your fucking day, I guess.
Just demented people. And like, it just like, I saw one video where like one girl's like shooting on all the beer cans. And it's like, you had to buy that. Like you didn't steal that from the store. Like you're still supporting that. And like, it's like good, like bad, like what is it? Bad publicity is good publicity. So it's like, you're shooting these cans. It's going to make people want to drink it more. So it's like, people are just angry at the world. And it's like, unfortunate. It's like, how does that, like, I always want to be like, how does that bother you as a human? Like, how does that affect you? Like, what is going on in your life that you're like, this is fucking affecting my life and I can't live.
Yeah. And it's weird to me, like in a violent way where these people are shooting beer cans because there is a trans woman as the face of whatever advertising they were doing. And it's like, in my brain, I'm like, oh, you're violent enough to like do something like this because you're so worked up over marketing for beer. Like, I can only imagine how you feel about the actual person. Like, and there's so much crime and like violence against these people that are just trying to live their lives and like go through their lives without, they've already gone through so much through their transition or living a double life if they haven't been able to come out. And it's like, I could not for the life of me understand the debacle that people go through. I don't know if it's like hatred towards themselves or if they're projecting or if they're truly just uncomfortable and disagree and do not understand. But I feel like if we had empathy for other people, it would be a better place. I don't know. It makes me so heated. I'll sit and think about it. And I'm like, bro, you hate people that much. Like that's embarrassing for you.
That's what I always say. I break it down to this, like the science of it all. It's like, we're human beings. It's like, who gives a fuck what someone else is doing in their own like world? Like we're all our own superhero in our own movie. It's like, why do you care about that movie? Like care about your own movie. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. It's like, they're not even a villain. They're not even another main character. They're literally just a background character living their life. And you're deciding to be mad about them. Like you're not that important. Please get over yourself. Ugh.
It's like people that like one thing will happen to them and they'll like hate a whole race. It's like someone that's trans will cut them off in traffic and then they hate all fucking trans people for no reason. It's like, oh, just one person did something wrong. So you hate all of them. It's like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to like get in the brain of someone who think like, obviously my father is a white supremacist and I haven't talked to him in years, but like also to sit with someone like that and pick their brain and be like, what is it? Like, just what is the reason why? And I feel like at least from conversations I've had with men specifically at work, it's how they were raised. And I don't use that as an excuse anymore, especially in this day and age when there's so much education at the tip of your fingers. You can change. You can absolutely change and like educate yourself, be a better person. And people just choose not to and use the excuse of, well, that's how it was raised. I'm like, you're 49 years old. You are not that old. You have so much time and room to grow. There is no excuse. But just to sit down and be like, okay, what's the deciding factor that makes you hate this race or whatever? I think you're better than everybody else. And I don't know. I don't know if he could like pin him specifically or if anyone could pinpoint a reason other than I just do.
Yeah, it's that everyone always has an excuse. And like you said, like growing up, it's like, that's not an excuse anymore when you're an adult. It's like, you got to learn shit on your own. Like, you're taking care of yourself now. So you got to figure out like where the, where your pain lies in your body and find out how to fix that.
Yeah. And like, that's something on a side note that I've been struggling with a little bit is like, when you become adult or an adult, you're like, your responsibility lies within like, yes, I'm mentally ill, but I cannot let that complete my, or like, get in the way of my life or like how I treat people or whatever. Like, I have to take responsibility for my behavior and for my actions and whatever. And for the longest time, I was like, this is just how I am. This is how I grew up being sad. I will never know anything else. And no, we have so much room to grow, so much life to live. It's just not an excuse. So yeah.
Yeah. We got to live our lives and just be the best person we can be and try to share that with the world. And just, I don't know, like, that's what we're kind of doing with our podcast. I know you're not really doing it right now, but like, know what you need to do? I think you need to interview more people on your show. And you do. Like, when you have Drew on, I think it's really good. Obviously, like, you by yourself is really great, but I think you would shine. Like, this conversation, we've already crushed an hour. I think you interviewing certain people, you would do such a great job at it. I think you have, you're a good conversationalist, and like there's definitely people that will like, they'll come. I'll tell you what, like, people that want to be interviewed by you, like, it's going to come. Like, the fucking amount of emails I get from like, even people that have nothing to do with mental health, it drives me insane. They're like, oh, I love your show. And it's like, this guy's an accountant and he wants to talk about his business model. It's like, where the fuck does that lie in the mental health world? And yeah, it's tough.
I love that you say that. Thank you. And I appreciate that, because that is my, when I rebranded, I was like, this is, I'll do some solo episodes, but I would really like to reach out to people and interview them. And more specifically, like my friends that have like teaching jobs or just like everyday people like us and how they are dealing with their mental health in their own lives. Because I feel like we see so much of celebrities and it's super fun. But like, you have a variety of interviews and it's so fun to see like different people in their jobs, whether they're like famous or not, you just get the array of like what mental health is to different people. And so I was like, oh, I would love to like get my friends on, or I had my mom on for the last, like for podcast 27, and just like seeing how their job affects them mentally or their kids or their relationship or whatever. I love doing that. It's my job at work. It's pretty much like an interview every single day. And I had someone say like, I am not a hustler. I don't go like bam, 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 back to back to people to try to do my job, but I'll sit down because people come in for an experience. They want to feel important or they want someone to listen to them. And sometimes that's all it takes. So that's how I am successful at my job, is by pretty much interviewing people and skipping the like, how was your day? Where are you from? Like, how many kids do you have? And being like, are you mentally ill? What is the real deal here? But I think it'd be really fun. So
yeah, you definitely should. I should probably interview my mom. That was always the thing, that I was going to maybe interview my mom. And then like, obviously I'm separated from Lindsay. And like, when we like fully separate and divorce, like I want to have, like, we've already talked about me interviewing her for an episode. I think that would be fucking super interesting.
Yeah. That would be, I feel like I haven't really ever seen anything like that or heard anything like that. Like from the perspective of like, all right, we're divorced. How are we feeling? Like, how is everything past this? So
yeah. And it's fun. Like I'm pretty open to a point about my situation. Like, obviously, like I still live with Lindsay and I have a roommate now and everything's going great. It's funny. Like, me and Lindsay have always been good friends. And like, she's still my best friend, but like the house situation's not going bad because like I work nights, they work days. So it's like, we take care of the dogs, Fanny and Charles. And like, and it's not easy living by yourself, man. The rates to fucking like buy a house and like refinance is just too high. And like, yeah, if she stayed and I go, it's like, she's going to be screwed on the mortgage. So it's like, I don't want to do that either, but I'm just very fortunate for my situation. I'm very fortunate for Lindsay and like how she is. And then like, I love my roommate, Sadie. Like we took her in cause she needed a place to stay. So, and like, yeah, you have a roommate too. Or you had one?
We do. His name is Patrick. And I think he would do really well on a podcast, but like probably not on mine. He could probably have his own, because if you listen, I know I talk about the basement yard, so I suggest it to everyone, but his personality, he's from New York. So every day is a bit like, every interaction I have with him is like an ongoing bit. It's like back and forth, theatrics, and like that's just how he is as a person. I feel like he would do really well with his own podcast, just like comedy or whatever. But it's really great because like we've had a lot of bad roommate situations in the past. And when we bought the house, it was like as quarantine was happening, Drew was still traveling. So I was home the majority of the time by myself. Drew traveled probably like 85% of the time. And then Patrick was ready to move back from New York. And we were like, rates are high. You just move in with us. We have so many rooms here. And it's been great. Honestly, he's the best roommate that we have ever had. So it's nice. It's like having, we've known him for so long. So it's like having your best friend and then your husband is your best friend. And you're like, oh, cool. We can all like do shit together. It's so fun.
Yeah, no, it is good. I like having the roommate. She helps out. She cleans. She cooks. She's awesome. But like then there's times it's like Lindsay's going away for a week, but she's staying. And I'm like, fuck, I don't have the house to myself. Like it's just like those little things. And so like your privacy kind of goes out a little bit. But overall, it's been pretty good. And again, man, just living by yourself out there is like not easy. Like everyone has a roommate. Everyone has to like just fend for themselves somehow. And it's scary, man. Living life is scary.
Yeah, I'm like, I would not be living La Vida Loca if I was single. I would be living sad, whatever the alternative is for that.
Yeah. What is the alternative of living La Vida Loca? Like, I have
no idea. It'll come to me like 7 hours from now. And I'll be like, this would have been perfect to say back then. But
exactly. Yeah,
I didn't realize that it's been an hour already. So I was like, oh, I don't know if there's more topics to come. I feel like I will ramble. And then I'm like, 2 hours has gone by and now I've wasted someone's time just sitting here.
No, not at all. I wrote down no notes. I'm just sitting here. I got nothing behind me. Like I didn't use my mic because my mic has been fucking acting up and I got to buy a new one. So hopefully this sounds good for everybody. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good episode for everyone to listen to because we haven't caught up in a while. Like you were one of my first interviewees on the show. I think you might've been the first one actually.
I think I was the first one. Yeah. And you were the first, well, I was new. So you were the first one on mine too. But yeah, I was like, oh, this will be fun. Like get me back into the swing of things. And I'd been meaning to do it for so long. And then I think it was Levi. Is that his name from What Are We Doing Pod?
I believe so. Yeah.
I got off the face of the earth in the pod world. So I've like forgotten everyone's name. So I was like, there's so many people I wanted to do like collaborations with. And now that I'm like getting back, I have my calendar out. I'm like this topic for this day, we will record this day, whatever. I'm not to the point where I can like start getting everyone on like the system that you have with Calendly or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many great people out there. I feel like now that I've narrowed down the circle a little bit, I can have a better transition into the newer podcast, but I've gotten like some pretty good numbers on the three episodes that I do have, but
yeah,
there's more.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you're a good podcaster. Yeah. It's like, I don't know anyone's like name. And if I do, it's like, I forget it, but like their podcast name is them. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, at least I have my name in mind. It's pretty easy to remember, but yeah, some other people I'm like, fuck, I don't know their friend. Like if I met them, I'd be like, hey, how are you? We have issues.
Yes. Or I always see everyone by their social media handle. And like on TikTok, I'm Jude Law and Order. And so if I go into like a box or something, no one understands the reference. I thought it was so funny. So I kept it. But someone will be like, oh, hello, Jude Law and Order. And I'm like, that's me. So whenever I see someone else's name, I'm like, their face could be like some random meme name. And I'm like, that's your name now.
Yeah, that's my persona too. It's like 20, 10 minutes. I do interviews and every interview person comes on. They're like, oh, is this going to be 20 minutes? I'm like, no, that's just like a running gag now. Like, that's just my name. Like, that's like Tuesday episodes, like 20 minutes. And like, that was my first thing coming into the podcast before I even thought about doing a mental health podcast was like, I want to do it 20 minutes because like when I did one with my buddy Billy, we did like hours. And I was like, I didn't listen. I still don't listen to my podcast, but like, I personally can't sit through like an hour long podcast. Like, and like, I'm very open about that. Like I listen to probably like one or two podcasts and like one of them is yours. And it's just tough because I'm such a music head, but yeah, when I started podcasting, I was like, I want it to be 20 minutes and I want to like have a name. And like my buddy Duff came up with the name because I was going to do Timmy 20 minutes. So it kind of sounds like took me 20 minutes, Timmy 20 minutes. So that was too much of a mouthful. And they were like, oh, what about 20, 10 minutes? And I spelt it out. And he's like, no, you got to do the 2-0. And I was like, oh, shit. So like that whole thing wasn't even my idea.
That's awesome. It's a really great name, though. It like flows very well. So
it does for people that know how to pronounce it. I love when people say 20 TI minutes. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, that's so funny. No.
Yeah, I remember like when I made podcast 27, I ended up stumbling across this like big podcast account on Twitter that was like, if you have to put pod or podcast in your podcast name, like you shouldn't be podcasting. And I was like, well, okay, then fuck me, I guess. Like I'm still, people are listening to it, so I guess it's fine. But I was like, all right, well, I guess when we rebrand, we'll come up with something a little bit different. So
yeah, and your logo's a lot more sharper. I'm not making fun of the old logo, but then you just like pick it randomly.
Yeah, literally, I took it from Anchor. I was like, I wasn't prepared to like know anything. Like, what am I supposed to do? So I got on Anchor and I was like, cool, that lady looks like kind of like me. I was blonde at the time. I was like, I like the aesthetic. We're just going to keep it. And I didn't think to like make stickers or like anything like that. And then once I got into the groove, I was like, okay, at some point I will have a logo. And I reached out to a couple of people, but they've been busy. And I was like, you know what? Let me just conjure up something myself. And I love the traditional tattoo kind of style. I've got the Grim Reaper tattoo on my arm. So I was like, cool, that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah. So I went on Fiverr to have mine made because it was like, yeah. I'm not like, I do my Canva. Like when I make my like art for like the podcast, like intro or whatever, like the stills or the thumbnail I'm looking for is like, I make it so basic. It's like background color, cut out photos of each other. And then like my logo in the middle, like I do such like, I make it simple because like, but so many people are talented out there and it's out of control.
Yeah. When I had like, when I was in high school and like right out of high school, when MySpace was a thing, I loved photo editing, like audio editing, video editing, all that kind of stuff. And I would spend hours like on my layouts or creating like templates or whatever. And I'm like, now that I have a laptop and I don't have a mouse and like, it's just a different setup. I'm very weird about the, I need a mouse at all times. So I got, I think it was Canva. And then there was another website that I used to make my logo and I paid like, I don't know, $20 to be able to use it or whatever. I was like, oh, I could probably just like, if I was artistic enough to draw, I probably could have drawn something, but it worked out. So if I ever do like videos or something, I'd like to get more in depth with all the editing features.
You know who does really good at that? We brought him up was Levi. Like he's like his whole thing with like the because when I was on his podcast, he had like a great thumbnail for like my episode and everything. And like he's got like the mic and he's got like that voice and he's very entertaining as a human being. Like I like him a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like a great guy. He's very entertaining. That is the perfect word for him, especially on YouTube.
He deals with negativity very well. I don't.
Yes, because I don't understand. Oh my God, TikTok. Like, that's why for a long time I was like, I could do YouTube. And then I had this TikTok go viral or whatever. And now that I've like got a little bit more traction on a lot of my TikToks, when kids are mean, it's mostly children. But I'm like, please don't be mean to me. I'm very sensitive. And I don't like to be, I will not be mean to a child on the internet, but.
Oh, I will.
You're like, fuck them kids.
Yeah, fuck them kids.
I'm like, oh my God, please do not bully me like this. So the way that he deals with like the haters, I'm like, you are a better man than I will ever be because I am either crying or I'm like, all right, you want to hit me where it hurts? I'm going to hit you where it hurts. And I don't want to be that person. So
yeah, I'm wicked petty. I'm Tom Petty. I always have to clap back at somebody when they say something to me. And like, cause I can match wits with like the best of them. And like, I have thick skin to a point, but like shit irks me. Like I'm not going to like lose sleep over it, but I'm irked enough to be like, all right, let me fucking get you back.
Yeah. I definitely like, I've always been very sarcastic and like, I can be snarky. And there's this one guy at work that his whole personality is just being fucking rude and he thinks it's funny. And so I like upon meeting him for the first time, I was like, okay, I can realize the bit that he's doing. This is how he is. And so I like gave it back to him and he was like, what the fuck? Why are you being such a bitch? And I was like, all right. So this is one, we're not going to do that. And two, if you cannot dish it or if you can dish it and you cannot take it, don't fucking be like that. So there, I feel like I've become softer over time, but I do like to be a little sarcastic, especially if someone like doesn't know me and they are comfortable enough to be that way around me. I'm like, cool. Then I'm also going to be that way around you.
Yeah, that's, I hate those people that they can dish it, but they can't take it back. You're like, what? Like, what is this? One way street? Yeah. It's like, come on.
Yeah. I'm like, I thought we were having a fun time here and you just called me a bitch because I just said the same thing that you did. Like, that does not make any sense, but okay.
Oh, so. People are the worst.
Quite literally. And I think too, since I stopped drinking, like, I've just noticed how people, like, as sober, and when I talk about like not drinking, I was drinking very heavily. So it wasn't a, like, I cannot moderately drink. And I don't know if like one day that will change where I can have a drink here or there, but it's not like I decided like, oh, I'm going to get sober because I didn't like drinking. I had like a definite problem to where now I sit back as a sober person watching other people that are drunk. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are literally insufferable. How was I dealing with this before?
Anybody that doesn't drink or like went sober, like live like the best life. They're like, I lost weight. I'm feeling great. Like I wake up ready to go. And it's like, again, it's just drinking poison.
Yes. It's awesome. Cause like the doctors were right, which is like so fine. I guess it's their job or whatever, but they were like, your mental health's going to get better. And like your physical health will get better. I lost 30 pounds from just like the drink. I drink a lot of beer. And then my anxiety has almost been non-existent since I quit drinking. And it's crazy because my anxiety was so bad. And even before I was drinking like that, my anxiety had like settled in its place in my body where I was like, we're here to stay. And now it's a lot different. It comes in waves. My depression and like the bipolar episodes are still the same. They're still doing the same thing, but anxiety has like completely cut more than half of itself out of my life. So that's pretty cool. But
looking back, I like on my bipolar journey, it's like I'm so much better than where I was. And it's like if I keep up with my meds, even though like sometimes I feel like my meds aren't working, but then I think back, I'm just like, yeah, this is going good. But yeah, I just had my physical and like I had to take photos of all my medication because I don't know pronounce them. So I like showed them like what, because they ask you all that shit. And then yeah. I sleep terribly. I slept terrible last night too. And I think I might have sleep apnea and I've gained 30 pounds over like the past like 2-3 years. And like, I'm at a weight that I've never been at. And I'm like the heaviest I've been. And I was like, yeah, I think I have sleep apnea. I was like, and he's like, you ever think about losing weight? And I was like, do you ever think about getting punched in the mouth? Like,
did you ever think about getting wrecked? But
yeah, dude. So like, I can do a sleep study if I want, but like my goal now is just to lose weight. And like, I know it's not better, but like I cut down on beers and like, I just do like, I know like Tito's and like soda water is like a lot better for you because it's one, it's like gluten-free. And so like, I've been drinking that, but you get more wasted. So you got to be careful. It's like very dicey. Yeah. So people out there don't drink responsibly.
Yeah. If I ever hit a day where I feel like I'm comfortable to try to drink responsibly again, I think I would just stick to like maybe a glass of wine or like vodka soda or something like that. Cause like beer, I didn't realize I started tracking for a couple of weeks how much I was intaking as far as calories go with IPAs. Cause that's what I loved. And then I would binge eat. And there was 1 week, I think my highest was like a little over 6,000 calories in a day. And that was consistently like in between 3,000 to 5,000 calories for like weeks on end. And I had to go to my doctor because she was like, okay, how much are you like actually drinking? And I was like, this much. And she was like, oh my God, you can't even quit cold turkey. Like you need to like wean off and like really get yourself in check. And I was like, cool. I truly did not. I was like, where's all this weight coming from? And then seeing the numbers, you're like, oh shit, yeah, that's where it's coming from. So
I love these booze companies that are like, they're like, oh, it's great, delicious. It's like, please drink responsibly just in case. But like alcohol is like the one thing you can die from, like withdrawal from. It's like, it just, it's insane how like crazy booze is. But oh man.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe we'll see. Like the whole like legalization of weed, I was like, maybe one day in this lifetime. And it's slow, it's happening here and there, you know, but the marketing for alcohol is just insane. Once I was able to like put my brain, not in the place of like, I want everyone to stop drinking. Cause like, I still wish I could drink. I just like cannot do it. So I'll see like the marketing and I'm like, oh, probably like under the brain somewhere. I was like, well, it's okay if it's like legal and like other people are doing it and like the marketing is so good and like I should be doing brunch and drinking wine every night after work to calm down, whatever. So they really get you with the advertising.
I just realized there's no advertising for like marijuana. And like, I just read somewhere that they're like, they just beat out chocolate sales, which I don't know how they judge that. But like, marijuana has been bought more than chocolate. But like, yeah, why isn't there any like marijuana like commercials or anything?
Yeah, at least in like the legal states too, like just in California. And then like when we went to Las Vegas, like you see all the dispensaries and stuff, but like I've never seen a commercial for it. I wonder why, unless like I'm not watching cable TV when I'm at these places, but you would think like you would see ads or something when you're in that area, like on your phone or something. But
it's going to be a tough ad because I didn't notice this in alcohol commercials. You never notice this, but they never take a sip of alcohol in the commercial.
Oh no, I've never noticed that.
Yeah. I remember like there was a Heineken commercial about like Barney Stinson from like How I Met Your Mother or like, what's his name? Fucking Doogie Howser. What's that guy's name?
Oh my gosh. I know who you're talking. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. So like he like kind of alluded to that. He walked off the set and like took a sip and came back. It was like, oh, delicious. But like, yeah, I don't think you can drink the alcohol in the commercial.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe because if they had to do too many takes and you're like getting a little crazy, you know.
Have you ever watched I Love Lucy?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the Vita Meter Benjamin episode where she gets like wasted off the drink?
No, I don't think. If I have, I don't remember it. I remember the chocolate episode.
Yes, you would remember the Vita Meta Benjamin one. I'll tell you which episode. It's on Hulu, and it's like I think it's rated like the number two funniest episode of like all time in TV history. And
oh wow,
it's fucking laugh out loud funny. Like even now, like I piss myself every time I watch it.
I'll have to watch it because I love Hulu. Speaking of TV history, literally Jerry Springer. Right before we started recording, I saw your post and I was like, what do you mean RIP? And then I get on Twitter because Twitter is like a second by second news source. And I was like, no fucking way. And like, I'm a big Dancing with the Stars fan. And what is his name? Len Goodman just passed away. One of the judges on there. I was like, oh my God, it's so sad. Cause when you're younger, old people pass or like actors or whatever. But until like, it's someone that you've grown up with or you're like connected with in a certain way, you're like, damn, I forget that we die like inevitably.
Dude, Bob Barker's still alive.
Crazy. I thought Betty White was gonna like really hang on to like 100, but these people lived a good fucking life. So it's just so I was very mind blown by the Jerry Springer one, but I also didn't realize he was 79 or something like that.
Yeah, that's like the age. I think when like people make it to like 80, 90, it's like, wow, like you definitely like lived a long life. Life is like, they say life is short and it is, it's pretty fast, but life is so fucking long when you look at it on paper.
Yeah. Someone the other day was like, we could be having our midlife crisis right now and we wouldn't even know it. And I'm like, please don't say that to me because I will spiral. Anything regarding death, I already have a lot of issues with like basing. That's how I found out that I have OCD is because it's called magical thinking OCD, where like you do things in your everyday life that do not impact like a bad outcome, but your brain thinks that it does. So like I have to like pet my dogs on the head like 3 times, give them a kiss before I go out the door, and then come back in and make sure all my outlets are gone or else I will die when I leave the house. So he was like, I was like, please don't say that to me because my entire life revolves around death and I literally cannot think I could be in my midlife crisis right now. I will pass away on the spot. So
that's why I don't know how people do true crime podcasts or even listen to them. They just like listen to death all day and like these like awful murders. It's like, I don't know how people do that. I just can't do it. Like I went and saw Evil Dead Rise and I haven't watched a horror movie with like death in it in like a long time. And in my head, I'm like, this is like fucked up. Like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, it looked like a good movie. I want to see it. I had to take a break from true crime because you know me, I love like My Favorite Murder and then That's Why We Drink and Morbid and whatever. But after a while, at least for me, I was like, oh my gosh, like I already had enough of a problem with the idea of death and stuff. But these, like, I think it took reading this book. It was like a rom-com type of book. And the woman, it's a like fairly recent book that came out, I guess. She's obsessed with true crime and everything that she does is revolved around, are my neighbors watching me? Is the guy I'm seeing a serial killer? And I was like, oh God, that's embarrassing. And that's also me. Like I need to step back a little bit and not be so paranoid. But it's also just very sad, like all the time. So you got to take a break from that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like people watching Dahmer and like the families like that got affected by it. Like what the fuck? Like
And there's always, and it's always like the five serial killers. It's like Ted Bundy, Dahmer, Richard Ramirez, John Wayne Gacy. There's another one. There's like so many of the main ones that they just keep making shows and movies about. And I'm like, we've had enough. We've seen enough. We know what they did. We don't need to keep seeing it on TV. I didn't watch the Dahmer series. The one with Evan Peters, that man has been through so many roles where I'm like, I hope he has a good therapist, because he's a great actor, but that's all that he plays.
Yeah. Crazy. Just crazy. He was in the X-Men movies though. He played Quicksilver, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see those movies.
Again, I'm like the worst when it comes to names. My memory in general just sucks. Like I just like my wordplay and my word recall is just not good at times. And I think it contributes to my mental illness.
Yeah. I didn't realize like the whole memory loss kind of thing. Like I'm starting to recover memories from like years and years ago, and so many things that I'd forgotten, or like I feel like my brain has gotten like worse over time remembering basic English words, or I don't know, just like random shit that I should know that I cannot put my finger on. I'm like, is this mental health related, or is it the cause of drinking so much, or is it just like I'm getting older? I don't know, but I would like to have my memory back.
Yeah, memories. Yeah, I'll think of something like a long time ago, and I'm like, I like shock myself that I remembered it, and I'm like texting people, like, dude, you remember this? And it's like, yeah, dude, like that happened like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah, like oh yeah, it was a great time, such a fun time. That's funny.
So what do you got coming up? Anything good?
As far as like life in general, or
yeah, podcast general.
Yeah, I do. I have a podcast that I've written up about grief, like the topic of grief, which I think will be good because I want to bring a guest on. I don't want to like say too much about it because I'm like, it could happen next week. It could happen in 2 months. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to like piece together something like dealing with not only the loss of a grandparent, but a miscarriage. And then just like, I feel like I'm in a spot now where like, I'm healing a lot of like teenage me. I feel like I'm getting to be a fun, happy person again, despite my mental health. And so you're like grieving this whole past of you that you thought you knew, or a parent that you thought you knew. And so that's a really heavy topic for me that I want to talk about, that I'm excited to talk about. And then other than that, it's concert season, baby. I've got so many concerts coming up that I'm looking forward to. I'm seeing Nickelback. Super excited about that.
I'm going to say this about Nickelback. They get too much hate for what it is. I can name like 20 other bands that suck.
Yeah. Oh my God. My sister texted me and was like, what if we saw Nickelback? And I was like, what if we did? And she bought tickets. And then she bought tickets for like Matchbox 20. I'm seeing like Pierce the Veil, Bring Me the Horizon, Fall Out Boy. There's just like a whole lineup that I'm super excited for. Because in my brain, I'm like, let me do so many things before I possibly get pregnant again. And like, if I get pregnant again and it's like actual pregnancy, like I don't want to show up at a concert and be like in the pit or whatever.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, let's do all this stuff. I would like to try to do like a vacation or something. But other than that, I really don't have anything exciting to report. I'm just trying to keep my head above the water, and that's exciting enough for me.
Same.
What about you?
I might go to Minnesota with my buddy Duff to go see the Red Sox play the Twins, but we're kind of like looking at prices and stuff. I'm going to P-Town in like June to go camping with my family. I don't know if you know P-Town. You know P-Town, Provincetown in Mass?
No, I don't.
It's known for its like very gay community. Like there's like a strip and it's just like, it's gay. Oh, like yeah. It's very gay and it's fucking awesome.
Oh, kind of like Key West. I feel like Key West, like we had our honeymoon there and I didn't realize like how big the gay community is there. I guess I just like had blinders on or whatever, but whenever I tell people about it, they're like, gay. And I'm like, hell yeah. I had no idea. That's really cool though. Is it like, are you going during like pride season, or is it just like that? Like all the time?
It's pretty much pride every week. It's like the Mecca of like gay community. Like look up P-Town. That's what it's what it's known for. And it's a fucking blast every time.
That's
I go.
So fun. Yeah. I love that.
We're going for my little brother's birthday. And, yeah, we're going to have a fucking blast. And but anything else? No, just still trucking along with the podcast. Got some guests on. Still reaching out to like big names to see what I can get. Like you can't, you got to shoot your shot no matter what, no matter how big it is. Because like, you know what I mean? You never know like what's going to happen. Like I reached out to Laverne Cox and their people got back to me. And like,
no way.
Like the fact that they got back to me to say no was like very cool, but they were like, oh no, she's yeah. in production, like blah, blah, blah. I was like, I would have fucking loved to have her on.
Yeah, that's so cool that they even like responded back to tell you no, though, because I feel like people don't give anyone the time of day to even like reject them. So that's really awesome, though. I love that. I yeah. love like, who was it? Dane Cook or whatever. There, yeah. I think it was Dane Cook and someone else. I was like, how did he do that?
Allison awesome. Stoner.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's who it was. Allison Stoner. And now they're doing like the whole like child star kind of revival. Chrissy Carlson Romano is on TikTok. And she, I think she started a podcast where they're starting to talk about like Disney and Nickelodeon and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I need to know like why all these people had the experiences that they did. So it's awesome that you have names like that. And then all of your interviews are really great, though. I feel like everyone has a really good time. It's very like smooth, runs really smooth. Like everyone always like has something to talk about. There's never an awkward like, all right, well, what are we going to say now kind of thing.
I'll tell you a little inside tip. I don't fucking take notes until like the day before when I'm like getting ready to do it. Like I'm such like the kid in high school that waited till the last minute to do their project. So like it is definitely like almost like off the cuff for me. And like I get my basic questions that I start off with, like, what does mental health mean to you? What's your relationship? But then like I'll go into that and then they'll say something like we're having a conversation where it'll like spread off. And like back in my day, I would probably like not come back to the main point. So like I'm very proud of myself that I can bring it and connect it back to like the main conversation. But yeah, thank you. I do enjoy the interviews. I don't enjoy them until I hit record. Like I'm like, I gotta do an interview. It's like, this is gonna suck. I'm not gonna do good. And then like my meds kick in and then I hit play and I'm like, all right, we're having a good time. Like I haven't had, like there's like one or two that I was just like, but I won't say who it was, but like there's like for the majority, I'd say 98% of my interviews are fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. It keeps the energy going, keeps the traction for the pod going. And I feel like you're doing something that a lot of like, I feel like the discourse around men's mental health is always so negative, at least from like the side that I see, whether it's like Facebook or like, I don't know. I just see a lot of people complain about how no one takes men seriously in the aspect of mental health. And I'm like, no, no, I have a friend. His name is Tim and you should check out his podcast because there are people out there that care about you. And when you have friends and people that care about you and your mental health, like you start to see it truly is sometimes like the environment that you are surrounding yourself in, the friends that you have, it can make or break like the person that you are. So what you're doing is great. I feel like you were the first podcast that I came across when it came to mental health when I started. Mm-hmm. And that like the whole community is awesome. So you're doing great stuff.
It really is. I remember the days where we would like look up hashtag podcast recommendations and like get into fights with people that are like, stop fucking tweeting me.
Yes. I remember I was like, why are you going to ask for podcast recommendations if you hate all the recommendations that are being given to you? Like, what did you learn from this?
Yeah, there's so many things I learned from the podcast community, just like taking little bits of like tips from people. Like I've never had a public speaking course or whatever, but like I learned like interviewing tips from like other podcasters or like what I do too is I'll research who I'm interviewing and see if they're on an interview and like take those questions, not ask them, but already know them. So I'm like, oh, I heard this about you instead of being like, oh, tell me about this. So it's like the same fucking question. So like I kind of steal from other people's episodes, which is good.
Well, that's good too, because then like you're not asking the same questions or because I'm sure a lot of these people are hearing the same thing every single time they have an interview with someone. So when you can make it fun and make it a thing of like, I feel like I know you or I know enough about you. So let's get down to like other business that other people haven't necessarily heard probably. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have like a extensive like background check to be on my podcast. Not because I gotta get a big podcast, but there's like so many people, like people ask to be on the show and like people reach out and like, so I have someone fill out an application and like I can learn about them without having to do a consult. And if it's good enough, I'll do a consult with them before the interview so we can see if we mesh. So like, I know it's like a bunch of steps for people, but my favorite is when they include the questions to ask them. And I'm like, I'm not asking one of these questions.
Yeah,
like, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I want you to ask me questions that I want to answer pretty much. And I like, there was a spreadsheet at one point and I have an email for Podcast 27. I don't even know how to log into it. I've never checked it, but somehow a few podcasts have found like my personal email or have messaged me and they're like, I would like to be on your show. And it's like a money management podcast or something. They know nothing about me. And it's like the generic post, or if they do know enough about me and it's not a generic message that they send out to everyone, it's just like not a match, or it's someone that is just trying to get like free content or something, or they're trying to like weasel in the DMs or something. And I'm like, no, I have a specific, like, unless you're not genuinely wanting to talk about mental health or whatever. And if you're someone that like doesn't listen to the podcast or like have a good knowledge of like what mental illness is, like someone messaged me and they were like, oh, I'd love to come on your show and like just talk about whatever. But their podcast was, or their Twitter at least, was like shitting on a lot of mental illness stuff. And I was like, I'm not gonna, you don't understand. And I'm not the one that's going to try to make you understand on my show where you already are insensitive a lot of the time. I just like don't have time or energy for that.
I think it's very awkward to ask to be on someone's podcast. I like, when people ask me, I don't know how to like say no, or like say like, it, I don't think it's a good fit. Cause like that's how I am with like people that email me too, that I don't know, but I just feel like, I just feel like it's, I don't know. I hate saying this publicly because like people that might listen to this would be like, fuck, I asked him to be on his show, and I'm not mad about it. It's just like, I just don't think it's a good fit, or it's like not a good fit now. And then like a lot of the times I'm just back the fuck up on so many interviews that I have to edit them all. But yeah, that's, I feel like that's a tough thing to put some, like put them on the spot and be like, oh, I should be on your show. And it's like, like, why?
I don't think so. Why do you think that? It's kind of like when, or at least for me, when like men come into the DMs and they're like, I think we should be friends. And I'm like, I don't need any friends, even though I just tweeted about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. But I'm like, I'm looking for like a specific type of friend, not someone that is just wanting, they're just interested and just trying to slide in the DMs. But like, it's, the rejection is really weird, because there's a lot of like great girls that I'd probably be really good friends with, or maybe not. And it's like, how do you tell someone like, oh, I don't think we're the right fit? It's like, very awkward. Yeah.
There's one thing that drives me nuts, and I've only seen women do it. It says in their bio, it says no DMs, but they have their fucking DMs open. You can just turn those off.
I think so. It's so funny because obviously it's like, okay, if you're an adult, you can read no DMs, do not DM this person. Yeah. However, when you are on Twitter, I'm not, if your tweets come up on my timeline now that we have a For You page, or if I see a liked tweet from someone, I'm not clicking on your bio. I don't care that much. And so like, I know that if I were to put no DMs in my bio and keep my DMs open, like people able to message me, that's what I'm going to deal with. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just, you don't have to respond to people. You literally do not have to respond to people that you do not want to talk to. And it doesn't make you a rude person. It makes you a rude person into like, there are people that genuinely slide in the DMs and they're being respectful and you can let them down easy. But to go and post like screenshots of people like actually being genuinely nice, it's like, oh, you're an asshole for doing that.
Yeah. 100%.
But then there are some creepy people that are like actually creepy and they do deserve to be put on blast. But I'm like, you don't have to screenshot every man in your DMs or every person in your DMs. Like I probably have like 100 that I've ignored. I'm like, not that I'm this like crazy, like hot chick or whatever, but it's just like how social media is. Like you try to stop it. But I'm like, you don't have to entertain people. It's really simple as that. And like, I hate letting people down. I don't like being rude to people. So anytime someone's like, oh, you're so pretty, we should be friends, can I get your number? And I'm like, I don't really know what to say, but thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with my hands. Oh, Haley, this has been a lot of fun. It's unfortunate that I have to cut it early because I have to go to work, but this has been awesome.
It's been awesome. Thank you so much. I didn't even realize it. It is 12:37. So thank you for getting me back on the grind. I will have new episodes out soon.
I think I'll make this the Sunday struggle sesh and put this out on Sundays.
Hell yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right. Haley, I love you so much. Thank you for chatting with me today. You're such a great person. I need you back on the podcasting game. I wish you nothing but the best. You deserve some good luck coming up.
Thank you. I can feel the vibes. We're going to do great. Thank you so much.
Later.
All right. Bye.
podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. If you are feeling suicidal, please dial 911.